Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, you're tuned to the Power Half Hour on Radio Islam International. In a few minutes' time, we're joined by Ronald for the verbal fitness sessions, the live workout, and thereafter we'll be discussing whether you're exercising and eating and you're not seeing any results. Why? Ronald will be explaining to us some of the questions that have come through. If you've got any questions you want to ask Ronald, then do so on SMS 48855, WhatsApp 072-786-1548, or Twitter at EJAZ_K. Then coming up after the verbal fitness sessions, we'll be joined by life coach Sumaya Kuvadia. Today we're discussing when love fails, what happens? Why does it happen? We'll find out more at a quarter to two, inshallah. But now it's time to welcome Ronald to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hi, brother Jaz, are you well?
Jay, alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you, bro?
Alhamdulillah, I'm keeping fit and keeping healthy, so excited to inspire our listeners to do the same in this cold weather.
Wonderful stuff. Now, in the last few installments of the verbal fitness sessions, you've been taking us through some weird workouts. We had the house workout, we had the sports workout. So what do you have in store for us today?
Today we have the handyman gardening workout. So, you know, it's our normal task that we do. Remember, when it comes to workout, yeah, exercise is a term many people associate with a gym or a treadmill or just doing the same old things over and over. They must realize that physical activity is also exercise, and any and everything that we do with our bodies engages in physical activity, and so is gardening. Mm. Now, this workout ahead is literally when you're out in your garden, you know, it's wonderfully cathartic. It helps you manage the stress. It just helps you be closer to nature. And we also know that nature is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. So let us appreciate it and look after it, especially in our garden. So let's start our gardening workout. So what I want you to do, remember, you're not going to go to your shed and pick up all the tools. You're going to imagine that you're holding particular tools.
Now you're
doing it. And the first thing we're going to do, brother, I want you to imagine that we're starting off by mowing the lawn. Okay? So the lawnmower is in front of you. I want you to stretch your hands out in front of you as though you're pushing on that lawnmower. Okay. And all I want you to do is march with big steps forward and then march backwards with big steps. So you're taking extra long steps forward and back. So you can take 10 steps forward or 5 steps forward, depending on the space you have in your home or wherever you are now, and 5 or 10 steps back. And you do this up and down for literally 45 seconds. But while your hands are out there, you're tightening your fist, you're tightening your forearm, you're tightening your arms and your entire upper body, because you need to control the lawnmower. So let's go for it. March up and march back. And it's a kind of an aggressive march. It's not a nice, slow, leisurely march, because you're pushing the lawnmower and you're tightening every muscle that you can in your upper body. So moving forward and moving back, combining warming up, cardio, and of course, strength training. Now that the lawn is mowed,
right,
you're then going to go into old school cutting of the lawn and the edges. You know those old big shears we used to use?
Yep.
All right? So all that I want you to do is imagine you're going to be trimming the hedges. So you're going to keep your hands up, stand wherever you are. Keep your hands up as though you have your hands on those two shears, so your fists are tightly clenched together, and you're going to be chopping in front of you and moving your hands inwards and outwards as though you're chopping it. So your hands are out shoulder width apart, they come together and they push out in an aggressive motion and a quick motion. So chop, 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 that's your rhythm. And as you tighten your arm, you feel your bicep begins to pull. Your back muscles begin to work because you're tightening every muscle in your upper body.
Yeah.
A wonderful way to target particular muscle groups. So you keep doing this for 30 seconds, and then you go on to the next exercise. But remember, it's an aggressive motion, not too big, not too small, but squeezing those hands together. The next exercise, of course, is digging a hole. Mm. So you can imagine you have a spade. And what I want you to do is, imagine you have the spade, left hand at the bottom of the spade, right hand on the handle.
I'm a lefty.
You're a lefty. Alternate it around, brother. Alternate it around. All right. You must make life difficult. But it's okay. It's okay. We'll get there. So you're going to lift up, and you're going to bend the front knee into a lunge, and you're going to push down as hard as you can with your hands. So push down, straighten the front knee, push down, straighten the front knee, push down with the hands, as though you're digging a hole. And that you do, and then you alternate your legs and your hands to accommodate for the lefties and the righties, and keep going on that. You do 10 on each side, and you repeat it 3 times. And then to end off the workout, it's of course you planting some bulbs, some flowers. And all that you're going to do with this is feet shoulder width apart, and you're going to squat down, touch the floor, and up again. Go down, touch the floor, and up again, because you don't want to bend forward with your back, because that'll put a lot of strain in your lower back. So by squatting down and placing your hands on the floor and up, you do that for 45 seconds, and you're working the lower body, tightening it up, and the hands touching the floor allows you to identify that you are planting something into the ground. And this entire sequence, you repeat for 3 more repetitions, and you've had an amazing indoor gardening workout.
Sure. Okay. So the garden is clean, the plants are planted. I like this new adding creativity and imagination to the workout. It makes it a lot more fun, Ronald.
But that's exactly what it is. If fitness is fun, we are more likely to stick to it. We won't get bored, and we challenge ourselves in different ways. And we can have, you know, group fun as well with the family and friends that could get involved in the workout.
Right. So now going on to our discussion today, and the first query, Salams, I've been exercising and dieting, but my stomach is still flabby. What gives?
Yeah, you know, what gives is the fat, you know, and it also gives is the skin that's around that area. Now, this depends on how big your tummy was in the first place, or any area of your body, if you were obese or really overweight, because your skin stretches as well. Now, you need to identify, is that excess skin, is it extra fat? Those two areas, we need to identify which organ it is, because no matter how often you look, that there's different factors that are out of our control. Now, you can exercise to reduce your body fat, but you may never have a flat belly. Now, for ladies out there who have cesarean sections, that area of the belly might always be slightly paunchy because they've cut through the layer of the skin, the fat, and the muscle, and the uterus to get to the baby, and that area is dead because nerves don't grow back. So there's a scar, but it's also dead, but you can tighten the areas around it. So what the person needs to do is reevaluate the eating plan if it is excess fat, and then go on the carbohydrate cycling eating strategy, where you go higher carbs, lower carbs on different days, depending on when you work out, and bring in high-intensity cardio training with overall body strength exercises. That'll allow you to increase your metabolism, force the body to burn extra fat, and by building up the muscle with the strength exercises, you will literally begin to fill out any excess skin if it's not too much, and that'll help you bring that belly in.
Okay, and the next one says, Salams, I've been losing weight, but somehow look fatter. Can you explain?
You know, weight and mass are two different things. So when you look at it, I need to ask this person the following. What is their goal? And clearly the goal is to drop weight. Mm. And weight is exactly what we look at from a perspective of, is it everything in our bodies, from water to our bones to our skin to everything else, or is it just fat? And this is what the person can't answer us. But they might look bigger because when losing weight, you must understand something, if it's a man or a woman, and for the woman, you know, in different cycles of their menstrual cycles or different phases of their life, such as menopause or premenopause, etc., they go through different hormonal changes. And there could be slight water retention. That could be it. The second thing is if you are building up, then you are losing the wrong weight. You are losing a lot more muscle than what you are fat. And that means that your weight on the scale will drop because muscle is heavier than fat and more dense. But the fat is still there, and that means that they are not exercising correctly, they are eating not in the right strategy, and that will mean that they really need to adjust the two of those things. Because by eating correctly and exercising correctly, you're not going to cause muscle atrophy, you're rather going to be causing metabolic fat burn, which is what you want to do, to burn fat, not muscle. Muscle helps you look toned, look tighter, look firmer, and that's what you've got to aim for.
Right, you're listening to the Power Half Hour on Radio Islam International, the Verbal Fitness Sessions here with Ronald Abaji. If you've got any queries on the topic we're discussing today, then do so on SMS 48855, WhatsApp 0727861548, or Twitter at EJAZ_K. Now, Ronald, this one says, have been eating clean and exercising for a month now. Still no change. When should I be able to see results?
This is a wonderful question, because more often than not, we find that as a fitness expert, we have to manage expectations. And many people believe that if they exercising for a week, 2 weeks, or even a month, they should be able to lose 10 or 15 kilograms. Remember, it did not take you a month to put on 10 or 15 kilograms. It took you possibly months or years. Now, with that in mind, you need to manage your expectations. And if you only focus on weight, like I said earlier, you're going to have skewed expectations. Because if you started exercising, you found that you maintained your muscle integrity if you're doing strength training. So by doing that, your weight on the scale will be the same, if not a little bit more, because muscle is denser than fat. So that in the next 2 months, 3 months, then you will start to see body shaping results and scale changing results. Because by then your fat metabolic cycle kicks in, your muscle is maintained, and of course then you will begin to really tighten and tone. And look at other measures to identify your change. Look at your body fat percentage. Look at how your clothes begin to fit. Do you need to go shopping for a new wardrobe? Are you fitter and stronger to climb up a flight of stairs, you know, without being out of breath? Can you carry your shopping bags, et cetera, et cetera? And those are your indicators and your measurements. But for literal weight loss, look at it from at least 2 months to 3 months in the program. And it's difficult, I know, but look at other benefits and goals that you have achieved to maintain your motivation. Because if you don't see a change in the scale, many people get demotivated and they stop it totally. It does take time, people. It's not an easy journey, but you can do it by managing those expectations.
Yeah, I wanted to close up with some motivational talking to those that are not seeing any results and, you know, how can they keep going? Because sometimes there is this, you know, the giving up where you feel, I'm not seeing any difference now. I might as well go back to what I was doing. So how do you motivate this person who's on that periphery now of either giving up or wanting to continue? What would you say to them?
You know, my thing to them would be, this is revisit why you wanted to lose weight in the first place. Identify that goal, that purpose, that reason. Was it to be around for your kids, to play with them? Was it to, because you want to be healthier? Was it because you're just unhappy with the way that you look? Was it for, because you want more energy? So whatever that goal is, revisit it. And once you've revisited that goal, identify what it will take to maintain that momentum. Start journaling these things down. If you begin to track and journal how you're feeling, the results, what you're doing from an exercise and an eating perspective, you can always go back and to retrace your steps to see how far you've come. We often tend to forget how far we've come, and we just focus on where we are right now. But it's a journey, it's a process. Socialize your goals to your family and your close friends. Tell them, you know, I'm on this journey, support me and help me, so that when you're feeling down, they're there as your cheerleading crowd to really encourage you, to push you through the difficult patches. And finally, you know, find the right expert to help you and assist you. If you're struggling with your eating, talk to a dietitian. You know, and remember, there's a very big difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist. So talk to a dietitian. They're more clinically based. You know, you then look at, from an exercise perspective, find, if a trainer is not working for you, find a physiologist like myself. Go to a bio. Let them begin to assist you and tweak your strategy to help you maintain your momentum moving forward. But remember, like with many things in life, have several, have patience, because results will come. But you need to be consistent with the strategy over a period of time to see the results. And I promise you, you will.
Wonderful stuff there. Jazakallah khair, Ronald, for those words of wisdom. Much motivation in those words. Thanks so much for your time, brother. We'll pick it up, inshallah, tomorrow at the same time. You have yourself a wonderful day.
And to you too, my brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ronald there, talking about all things exercising and dieting. Coming up after this short break, we're joined by Life Coach Sumaya Kuvaria. The topic today is when love fails, what happens? Stay tuned to, your world today. Stay tuned to the Power Half Hour.
No, it can get hard sometimes. You are the only one I'll follow till I die. So I will pray that Allah will keep me on the straight path, holding me close on the straight path, keeping it deep within my soul.
Yes, you're listening to the Power Half Hour. We're now joined by Life Coach Sumaya Kuvaria. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sumaya.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi, Jaz.
How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah, I'm very well. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah. All jacked up after that workout with Ronald, which keeps us going for the rest of the day. Now, Sumaya, we've been covering some hectic topics, very exciting ones in the last few weeks. We talked about men being like rubber bands, women being like waves. But now this one, very emotional indeed, when love fails.
Absolutely, Jaz.
So when love fails, what does it look and feel like, Sumaya?
That's a very good question, Ijaz. You know, let's get into, firstly, you know, just stating that we are created as social beings. You know, as humans, that's who we are, and we crave connectivity and communication. So when we get into relationships, into our marriages, and, you know, they fail in fulfilling these two needs, you know, where we need to connect and where we need to communicate, it can basically feel like the wind is being knocked out of our sails. And it is one of the most difficult of heartbreaks to endure. You know, it can feel completely devastating and hopeless. And we become so rooted in our pain that it becomes who we are. You know, we become the pain. That's what basically happens to people. You know, they're just feeling that pain all the time. Because you know, people's actions, their thoughts, their words, everything is a reflection of that pain. We then begin to operate from that pain and shame, the blame, the guilt, all of that that accompanies this pain. You know, it becomes our way of thinking and being. And it's really a very painful and desperate place to be in. And Ijaz, you know, not so long ago, I worked with an absolutely wonderful woman, you know, who found herself in a place where love really was failing. And alhamdulillah, today, you know, she is happily, happily married. But, you know, when she gave me her account of how it basically feels, you know, when love fails, this is basically her account that I just like to share, because so many people can relate to this. And, you know, when we say and when we tell people that you're not the only one that's suffering and going through this, it somehow makes it easier for them to understand that there is somebody else out there that's been through it. And they've worked through all of that, and now they're on the other side where they're actually happy. So, you know, for her, it actually felt like it was surreal, as though it is really a bad dream that, you know, she wishes that she could wake up from. But it almost felt like, you know, your body goes into shock, and it sort of shuts down. So you immediately, you lose the will to do anything except what's necessary to survive. Because think about it, when that pain comes, you're basically in survival mode. You're not thriving in life. And then, you know, you go into sort of almost like autopilot. You can't see past what has happened. And the pain encompasses you from all sides. You are engulfed in that pain. And you are overcome by so many emotions at the same time. You lose track of what is going on in your own mind. So you actually give up trying to sort through it all. And this is just basically how she felt when things were failing for her, you know. Mm-hmm. But then again, I'd like to tell, you know, listeners that it doesn't have to be this way. And today we will be sharing, inshallah, Ijaz, some wonderful insights into some of the things that lead us, you know, onto this road of complete devastation. So, you know, again, when you see, firstly, when you see that love is failing, then what you should do is, Ijaz, people should go into an inquiry of self. And often this is the most difficult thing to do on your own, because it requires, you know, a certain amount of truth that you're just not willing to face at some times. Mm-hmm. And when love is failing, I think it's more easier sometimes for us to blame the other person, that it's because of something or someone, that, you know, things are not in my relationship or in my marriage the way it's supposed to be. So, you know, when a person has reached this stage, then I always like to, you know, just suggest, invite people that when you've reached this place, you know, in your relationship, then it's better that you go out and seek that assistance from somebody who's trained in the field that can help you out, because you definitely deserve, you know, you definitely deserve an amazing life, a life that is fulfilling and enriching and, you know, just has all of those positive aspects to it. Because, you know, when we think about it, Ijaz, pain really makes one look at themselves. And, you know, doing this inquiry, like asking yourself, what am I missing? Example of that would be like, you know, just imagine if a particular scenario is in your face so often and you're just not getting the lessons from that. So it's important to ask yourself, go into the self-inquiry and ask, what are the lessons that I'm just not picking up from here? I'm meant to learn something, but I'm not getting it. So in that case, you know, ask Allah for His guidance and see where does that take you. Because, you know, more often what happens is go back to the things and see that what stories am I rewinding to on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, or, you know, maybe on a monthly basis that puts me back into that place where I feel that everything is just not working out.
You're listening to The Power Half Hour. We're speaking to Life Coach Sumaya Kuvadia. The topic is when love fails. Now, Sumaya, how does blaming others or your spouses sabotage yourself?
Well, this is very important, Ijaz, you know, because like we said, that blaming others sometimes just becomes the easier route, the easier option to deal with. And, you know, to know that when we blame, we're basically stuck. Because now you're in that victim mode, and that means you don't really see what's happening, you know, as a lesson for you to shift and to change things. And that basically means that, you know, this person is not taking full responsibility for their life, or full responsibility for what is happening to them. You know, when you go into the self-inquiry, then you can ask yourself that, you know, perhaps it's my communication. Because, you know, like we said earlier on, communication is something that we as human beings strive on. We need to communicate with each other. So perhaps in my communication, maybe my delivery or maybe my approach is all wrong. So perhaps, you know what, that needs a little bit of, you know, fine-tuning. Maybe that's what's wrong and I need to sort things out there. Or perhaps, you know what, maybe I'm dealing with a difficult situation and I'm not willing to compromise and meet my partner halfway. So it's, you know, things like this, when we do the self-inquiry into how is that failing, it basically takes us and moves us away from blaming people. Because when you blame people, you're basically just not growing. You know, don't make your spouse the villain and you the victim. Instead, ask these quality questions. You know, ask. Just go into those questions and ask, how am I playing a part, you know, in creating and maintaining these situations that are just not working? Because you know what's the amazing thing about this whole process of inquiry, Ijaz,
mm-hmm.
is that it can be so revolutionary because it opens you up into truly seeing. You know, into seeing what is really going on here. What am I supposed to be changing in this relationship? Because like we said again, you know, when we get stuck into that blame phase of, you know, it's his fault or it's her fault. She doesn't know how to speak to me or he doesn't know how to listen to what I have to say. Or I'm not understanding each other. We're not understanding each other properly. Or some people, you know, they come up with this whole idea of, I used to love this person once upon a time, but now I don't any longer. That love once upon a time was there, but so much has happened that you haven't dealt with, you know, that's allowing you to feel that way. So go into all of this and work through it. And inshallah, that will basically take people away from blaming their partners or blaming anything else.
Now, Sumaya, what can we do to change unhealthy marriages into healthy marriages so that we are thriving as opposed to surviving?
Well, the first thing, Ijaz, is awareness, you know, because awareness is that very first important step. And the reason I'm saying that it's awareness because, you know, think about it. When you become aware of anything that's going on in your life, you know, whether it's working or it's not working, you basically change your outlook, how you're looking at that whole issue. You start handling the thing differently and, you know, the kind of resources that you bring in are completely different. So awareness is basically the very first step, you know, because when you look at it, healthy relationships don't really have any drama in it. If you're sitting in an unhealthy relationship and you're having drama upon drama that's coming into your life, then know that something needs to change and something needs to shift. And definitely it's not blaming each other. Definitely it's not blaming things. You know, I don't know if this scenario will work for people, but sometimes, you know, just to put it into some kind of humor, Ijaz, you know, when things are not working,
mm-hmm.
I like to put it into, you know, countries. And by no means am I saying that, you know, our country, our beautiful country of South Africa doesn't work.
Yeah.
But I'm saying when we look at things, comparing it to other first world countries, let's say, for example, like Australia. You know, Australia is a country where almost everything works. When we look at, you know, South Africa and our infrastructure and we look at so many things going on and now we're coming into winter and, you know, because of the excess energy that we're using, we have to go into load shedding mode, you know. So sometimes our marriages go into that load shedding mode. It sometimes works the way South Africa works where everything really isn't working. So let's see what needs to change there for us to shift out of that mode and make our marriages work like how first world countries work. You know, sometimes when we think of it in those terms, it doesn't become so intrusive and we're not so overwhelmed by thinking that relationships just don't work for me. I don't know if that makes sense on any level.
It does. Listen, may I see a message coming through on WhatsApp? Mm-hmm. Says here from a listener, the biggest factor is girls have faith in material world rather than deen. And I think that ties up with the question what I was going to ask you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Are people's minds maybe brainwashed by fairy tales or Indian movie versions of love? And when it doesn't work out the same way, then they don't know what's happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we have this, people have this sort of notion that, you know, love is something that just happens. And when it happens, you know, it's going to be magical and it's going to last forever. You know, those fairy tales that people are watching and those books that people are reading about everything is happy ever after,
mm-hmm.
they don't tell you about the work that it takes to get to that happy ever after.
Yes.
Those are the conflict points. Those are the points about understanding the differences between men and women. You know, all the things that we've been talking about over this past few weeks, Ijaz.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't understand all of that, we cannot get into that happy after space. So we need to understand that those are just fairy tales and they don't really work in the real life when you have to put it in real life situations. You know, because understanding one very important thing is, you know, that a man does good to feel good. So, you know, women need to know that when a man makes his wife happy, then he feels good about himself and he really wants to do more to make her happy. And on the other hand, a woman feels good to do good. So if she's not feeling good about herself, it's very hard for her to do good. Again, I'm not saying that stepping to blame here, you know. Just work on yourself and find your happy place. And just remember that the core of all existence is in relationships. It's basically how we experience our world. So working on our relationships and gaining those skills that can get us to amazing marriages, amazing relationships, is of utmost importance. So do whatever it takes. If you need to go and take, you know, marriage classes, go ahead and do it. You know, if you need that help from somewhere else, from outside, go ahead and do it, because you deserve to live that amazing life.
Samir, what are your final advices on how to turn these love fails around and, you know, to fall in love with your partner again?
You know, Ijaz, the first thing that I'd like to tell people is, you know, in order to be able to handle your marriage better, you know, start with micromanaging your relationships. And I don't mean micromanage your husband or your wife. What I mean is allowing things, you know, to basically just fester and just boil. And sometimes you take it out on the wrong person or at the wrong time. That is what I'm talking about micromanaging. You know, when something small comes up and you can't handle it by yourself, talk about that to your partner, right? Secondly, how to get our marriages, you know, to get to that better space is understand whether you are really fulfilling the primary needs of your spouse. That is the needs we spoke about, you know, last week. Not giving what we need, you know, in love, but giving what is it that my partner needs in love. And communication is of utmost importance, Ijaz. A lot of spouses stop communicating, besides communicating on, you know, on their daily level. What do you need for today? Or what do the kids need for today? Or what's going on? Nobody really goes into communicating and seeing. How can we sit down and talk? Let's just talk about our day. Let's talk about different things that's going on in each other's lives. How can we support each other? And, you know, just start communicating more. That's basically what it is. Without blame and without making your partner responsible for your happiness. And inshallah, that is basically, you know, just the beginning of how we can turn our marriages and our relationships around.
Brilliant stuff. JazakAllah khair for all the advices, Samir. It's been fascinating talking on this topic. And inshallah, we'll pick it up on a different scale, a different topic possibly next week. And
inshallah.
Inshallah. You have yourself a wonderful day.
JazakAllah so much. And to you too, Ijaz.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
That was Life Coach Samir Kuvaria talking about when love fails and how to turn it around. It's come to the end of another edition of the Power Half Hour. JazakAllah khair for being with us in the program or on the program, listening and, you know, gaining some knowledge from the experts that we do manage to get for you on a daily basis. From myself, Ijaz Khan, and Sami Hajjad, it's Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.